Mark Jarden. He currently presides over the U.S.-based international grower-owned fresh produce and marketing distribution cooperative company called North Bay Produce. The company works with retailers globally and participates in a counter-seasonal import-export program with Latin America and producers who complement the U.S. production. He's in charge of assuring year-round supply of fresh produce, including seasonal U.S. stuff, usually and principally apples, asparagus, and bushberries. Their partners for counter-seasonal production are located in Chile, Argentina, Uruguay, Peru, and Mexico. His U.S. producers are located in Florida, Georgia, the Carolinas, Jersey, California, Oregon, and Michigan. The company interchanges between Latin America and U.S. using sea, air, and truck transportation for assured year-round delivery of fresh produce, guaranteeing all post-harvest and logistical aspects of cooling, shipping, receipt, and liability for imported and exported fruit and vegetables. North Bay Produce markets its production in the U.S., Canada, Europe, India, China, Japan, Hong Kong, South Korea, and Singapore. So I'm looking forward to getting a real-world corporate experience talk. And without further ado, is Mark.
And you should see the other guy. He told me about it.
Thank you, John. John really twisted my arm to come up here and talk to you folks today. I finally gave up. Haydens are also very susceptible to the cold treatment, to cold damage on that. So I'm going to throw most of my notes away now that I've heard the other two speakers talk today and I better understand what you folks are really here to learn about. Our company started off in 1984 as a division of Cherry Central Cooperative, which is a processing cooperative in Michigan. We freeze, can, and dry fresh fruits and vegetables there. In 1990, we split our company, and in 86, we started importing. We're now two separate companies housed in the same building, still using the same economies of scale, but gone our different ways, yet working together. As a global marketing cooperative, we have many irons in the fire, and I appreciate all of the high-ranking individuals that are well-educated here. In the produce industry, we always jokingly say, on your job application, the first question is, what is your IQ? And if the answer is above 70, please turn your job application back in because you're too smart for us. However, I have been well-educated in this business. I have a degree in a PhD in agronomy, in post-harvest science, transportation, distribution, customer satisfaction. And all of that is coming from the School of Hard Knocks, not from one of the universities that you folks represent. So in the last 28-odd years, I've learned an awful lot. And back then, we were at the, if you can think back to those days, 1986 was the beginning of air freight. Del Monte Dole were back in the late 70s with pineapple, but real air freight began back in 86. We were the first company to import fresh asparagus from Peru. Did that in 1986. In that year, we received like 1,200 11-pound crates. It was a huge, huge receipt. I've got this big cushion here that doesn't work so good. Okay, sorry. Yeah. And as we grew, the airlines had no idea how to handle produce. They didn't have coolers. They treated it like nuts, bolts, furniture, whatever else. It was left out in the sunshine. We had more bad arrivals than good. Back in those days, the Customs and Border Patrol used a big, long rod to go through the middle of your shipment, the probe that was used before dogs and x-rays and things like that to find drugs. If it came back green on asparagus, everything was good. If it came back white on asparagus, you had a little problem somewhere in the middle. So those are the beginning days of produce coming by air. And in those days, mangoes came by air. We were, as I said a moment ago, one of the biggest mango companies in the United States up until about 7-8 years ago, and then it became not so interesting anymore because there's too many billion people in it. The value's gone out of it, and our growers, our majority growers that are in mangoes have switched off into other commodities because you can't make a profit in them anymore. So over the years, we've handled many items. We've concentrated those down now. As John had said, to asparagus, the apples, bush berries, snow peas, sugar snap peas. And how do I make the pictures go forward? Arrow down? Okay, great. As a mission statement, we are committed to furnishing our global customers with a diverse, uninterrupted supply of high-quality produce while providing superior customer service. Pricing will optimize both customer value and grower member returns under a code of ethics that meets or exceeds global expectations. So what does all that BS mean, really? There's enough room in the middle between the buying community and the selling community for us to find the value that both can use, providing that we have the quality and the service levels that they need us to achieve. It doesn't matter if I give, we're in Florida, Publix, the best price, the hottest price on any given commodity today, if I don't deliver it on time or they reject it for quality, one or the other, because they've got a company to run. And those retail counters are worth a lot of money. That space is valuable retail if it's empty, okay? So if we are doing our job in optimizing their deliveries and giving them the right quality product, then they are happy with us, and we can keep our growers in business. And then we can continue to put the money back into the system. As a cooperative, all the profits that we make go back into the growers throughout. Over the years, we've helped to evolve the way packaging is presented. Many of you see apples in poly bags. We were the first to bring the mesh apple bag, the soft mesh apple bag, to market, and we control more apple baggers, mesh baggers, in the eastern half of the United States than the sum total of all the rest of the companies packing apples today. We find that they release the ethylene gas, so you're not trapping gas like you do in a poly bag, so it doesn't ripen as fast. It finds its own level on the shelf. If you put a poly bag on the shelf, there's always one or two apples that are sticking up that makes that bag not sit there right. And how many times do you see poly bags off the shelf beating up apples? Now you have an unhappy customer. The other thing, when you put those apples in a box, a poly bag, they're all standing straight up, and you're forcing the last two or three bags into the box to make it fit right. So what do? You create bruising on those apples as you force them in. So those are all aspects that we feel we've achieved a better displayability. And if you look at that big bin of apples, if you picture that as tray apples that are on the shelf the same, those apples in a mesh bag look like they're loose apples instead of a poly bag that's reflecting at you and all you see is a glare. So we work on those kinds of things. So I said before, we were the first to bring asparagus from Peru, and we also are very big in the snow pea and the sugar snap pea business. We bring these by both sea freight and air freight. I will be the first to tell you that sea freight is not a good avenue for the asparagus. By the time it gets here, the legs are about 3 days long. You've got to move it very fast. We do not use the sea freight measure anymore. We tried it at the beginning. We discontinued it, even though it is a controlled atmosphere method, because you do not get good quality product to the consumer. Our objective is to make good arrival with the consumer, not with Publix, Kroger, Safeway, whomever the retailer is, Tesco, or whoever in the world. So we air freight all of our asparagus. Snow peas and sugar snaps, however, we can bring by controlled atmosphere, and we do that, and we do that successfully from Peru and from Guatemala, and we have a 52-week program from both of those. This picture here happens to be in Peru. It's in the highlands, and it's the peas that are where you can see little grooves in the photo there, and yellow traps that are in the photo. We bring about 1.5 million boxes of peas out of Peru a year and 1 million boxes of asparagus. We're very big in the blueberries worldwide. We're one of the top three blueberry marketers globally, And we have had a 52-week supply for at least 10 years. I don't know now today how many years it is, but it's at least 10 years. These happen to be some blueberries out of Chile that you're looking at, and is one of our big operations. We were talking a moment ago about the quality control upon arrival. And I think this is very important, and it really doesn't matter where I interjected at in my speech here, but in our company, it doesn't matter whether we're receiving in the United States or a foreign port. We have a specific quality control form that we want filled out. In the United States, we use Produce Inspectors of America. We use their counterparts in Europe as well, and then we hire individual companies in the Asian and Southeast Asian countries to follow our protocols. We use temperature recording devices in every shipment. If it's a sea freight shipment, we put two temp tails in the trailer. One is one quarter back on the left-hand side. The other is three quarters back on the right-hand side, not attached to the trailer because then you're getting the trailer temperature, not the fruit temperature or the vegetable temperature. We attach it to the box. Therein, we can tell whether or not the grower has cooled the product properly. We can see that fluctuation in the shipment coming in. Mary Lou had made the comment that you can, if you rely upon the sea freight company to give you the data from their downloaded information, you will never get that until you go to court. Once you go to court and you get the judge to go along with you, you can get that. There is a device that is called the Logman 2, I believe, if I remember correctly. We have several of these in our possession. When we see a shipment come in with problems, we very quickly occupy the person that is back that trailer in doing something else, a little conversation with them somewhere else. We plug that in. They do not like that on the sea freight lines when you plug that data logger in to their equipment. We download everything that they're going to have, and we have it before we have to go to court. And we know whether it was our grower that put something on that was too hot or they had a problem in the shipment when it was coming across from wherever it happened to come from. As we look at our operations, and Chile is a perfect example, we calculate 21 days on every shipment of blueberries coming to us. The days of shipment on the water are 17 now to go to Miami and to Philadelphia. It's 14 days to go to Long Beach. We have two facilities in our company that we receive product in that we own and operate. One is a Miami warehousing facility that's just off the west end of the runway so that we're very close to the air freight shipments. And then we're within 20 minutes of the port, or all of the ports, for sea freight shipments as well. We also have another facility that we opened up 3 years ago in Muscoota, Illinois, which is just across the river from St. Louis. If anybody is familiar with the Air Force Base, Scott Air Force Base, they are on one side of the runway. They have their runway. We are on the commercial side for Mid-America Airport. And our facility, our warehousing facility, is located on the Mike apron. So when we have air shipments, which we are working very diligently between ourselves and airlines, and then the airport itself, to create north-south shipments and east-west shipments right now that are all going to be charter shipments. Your commercial airlines are not going to come in with our product into that facility. So we can't depend on that. It's all charter shipments. And we've brought half a dozen charter shipments in there ranging from a we had an MD-11. A 767-300 is the smallest that we brought in with 60 tons, and a 747-400 with 125 tons, which is 250,000 pounds in our terms. In both of our facilities, we have large forced air coolers. We utilize the old-fashioned version, as we call it, the California tunnels in Miami. That's our oldest facility. It's 15 years old now. The new facility, we've worked with Jim Stiles from Out East to develop, and in this facility, we actually have the fans that are located up above each pallet. They push down for 20 minutes, they stop, and they reverse, and they suck up for 20 minutes. We're pulling that air through the pallet in both directions, pushing and pulling through. We cool that product faster, and we have less dehydration, less electricity usage with that operation. So it's the newest operation, newest, latest, greatest that you can get going on there. We have the ability to pre-cool 20 pallets at a time in Miami. We have the ability to do 40 pallets at a time at Mid-America. In both cases, we can do a 747-400 in less than 8 hours that comes in at 95 Fahrenheit, because that's the kind of temperatures that we deal in at the high end in those two facilities. If something goes wrong, that's what we have to deal with. When it comes to fumigation, we as a company utilize methyl bromide because we have to, we're required to under protocol. We don't like to use methyl bromide because it's not good for the product, it's not good for the atmosphere, and it's not good for us. And we would love to find other alternatives. We use cold treatment when we can, but we also do have methyl bromide. We are in the process right now of certifying a methyl bromide treatment facility at our Mascoutah warehouse, where we will be able to do 2 40-foot trailers at a time, and that's part of working with one of the commercial charter planes out of Miami that wants to set up a twice-a-week shipment from a scheduled shipment from Peru this year. We'll be coming in 2 days a week, it looks like, at this time. Okay. I should show the slides. This is our Miami warehousing facility. All of our facilities are racked 3 high, 4 to 5 pallets deep in each of those facilities. This is the Mascoutah facility that we just built. The first facility I showed you has 6 doors. This one has 14. This is a 747-400 by Centurion that came in. I guess it's advancing by itself. So we can... It just moved up. This is unloading the pallets. As you can see, those are LD7 pallets that are all strapped and netted is the word I'm looking for. We use a blanket, an insulated blanket over the top of all of our shipments with gel packs to make sure that we keep the product cold, because we don't trust airlines to do that. As you look at that airplane, there's a roller bed floor inside that airplane, so one or two people can move up to 10,000 pounds on a skid on a roller bed floor, whether it's in an airplane or in our facility. It's that easy to move. You just grab a hold of the strings and start pulling. It works better if you have two people, but one can do it. And then as it comes forward from the door going out into space there, that's actually a set of rollers that are mechanized that has a stop on it. It's a scissor jack. It comes down to the tug that you see there. And then, again, it's a mechanized roller system that pushes it on to the rollers on the tug. We may have up to 3 of those pallets that hold 6 wood pallets on a cookie sheet that you see tied down there. The cookie sheet is basically, it looks like a cookie sheet. That's why we call it that. And it has the lockdowns on it to keep the product in place. You can see those silver balls in the floor. Those are all big ball bearings. And you can see there that there's 3 people working on that pallet to bring it around. I know that pallet because I happen to be there unloading it, and those pallets all were between 6,700 and 7,200 pounds. And that's all blueberries that we brought in at Christmas because of a port strike in Chile. We weren't able to get the sea freight shipments out on time, so we flew a 747-400 up to make sure we had product in place. This is that new Force Air cooler that I was telling you about, and you can see each of those bays is 10 pallets deep, and you've got part pallets there and full pallets, and all that room is built to what our tallest pallet is. And then on the sides, we actually have the ability to bring the sides down to control the volume of air going through the pallets. And there's doors, just like a banana ripening room would have, on the end that close it off when we're running it. We also run a complete packing facility there for blueberries. We bring fruit in bulk in trays, and we're working very hard to the question back here a minute ago about mangoes to convert blueberry production from pre-packed at the origin in South America, because again, we're talking about 21 days. Argentina is 35 days if it comes by vessel. It doesn't work. The fruit's dead on arrival. But from Chile, we're talking 21 days all the time now. And if you bring that fruit in so often, the retailer has changed his mind 21 days later that I was in 6 ounce, but now I want to be in pints or 18 ounce or 24 ounce. So if we bring the product in, we have two different trays. We have some growers that harvest in 2 kilo trays, other growers that harvest in 7 kilo trays. That fruit's just loose in the tray, and it pre-cools better, it chips better, and we have better control of the quality at the end to do it that way. This is a line just as you would see in the United States or anywhere else for production. It's set up to run 10,000 pounds per hour. And we have the ability, well, we have two fillers. One is a weigh sizer that fills 12 cups at once, and the other is a volume filler, so that if we want to fill pints that are volume metrics or a 5 pound volume, we can fill it at a given time. This is the weigh filler and trickling the fruit out. This is the mechanized closing of clamshells. This is a new product that we're bringing to market. There's only two of us in the world right now that are doing ready-to-eat blueberries, ourselves and a competitor of ours that's called Nature Ripe out there, who also does a very good job in fruit, and they're one of the top three in the world as well. This product is available now. It's just coming out to retail in the middle of the United States. We're doing our pilot program in Indianapolis right now, make sure everything goes right, and then as soon as that breaks loose, we'll go nationwide with it, and then once we get into Chile this year, we'll take it worldwide. And this is all pre-washed fruit, dried in line, then goes into cups that are 1 1/4 to 1 1/2 ounces. We have the ability with change parts to pack up to 18 ounces in the machinery, the equipment that we have in place today. This is very high-tech. The film that we use in here is exclusive to our company. We heat seal that film on, and we call the magic ingredient pixie dust. It's not really pixie dust, but that's what we call it in our company because we don't want anybody to know what it is. We get up to 60 days of shelf life in that container after it's washed and put in there with the pixie dust in it. We also have the same ability to store fruit, blueberries, for 60 days after arrival from Chile that's been on the water for 21 days. So this is technology that we've worked out with a company from New Zealand and the UK over the last 10 years and is exclusive to our company for a couple more years yet and works very well. This gives you an indication of the pallet racking in our Miami warehouse and what it looks like. We're very big in the production of blueberries, blackberries, and raspberries in Mexico. All of our production is under hoops down there, which gives us better production. I had to throw in a few pictures of some Michigan apples and packing facilities. This happens to be the chairman of our board's packing facility. We do about 1 million boxes. We're one of the top four in the state of Michigan in packing. That right there is the soft mesh packing machines. Those machines are very nice. They take up 5 spaces compared to the polybag machines in line. And this is an example of an asparagus field and a pomegranate field in Peru in the middle of the desert. This is owned by North Bay and 7 partners in the company. The lighter green is all asparagus. The darker green is pomegranates. We started pomegranates in Peru about 12 years ago. We will have 400 hectares of Peru by the end of pomegranates in the ground by the end of this year. What you see there is all the wonderful variety from California. The majority of what we have planted will be 80% wonderful, 20% new Israeli varieties that extend our season early and late that keep us competitive with California. It complements California. Let me restate that. Complements California. Some of the packaging for asparagus. Peas, this just happens to be a picture, a quality control receipt picture. We have pictures of every one of our shipments that come in that show what the product looks like on arrival. It gives the lot number, open appearance, and that they were clipped, as you can see, on the sugar snaps there. And then it just happens to be some snow peas that were in that photo. Again, the shot in Peru. And then we're also very big in hockey in the north up there, so we had to throw in part of our team picture there after we won the championship last year. Thank you.
Any questions for Mark? Don't be bashful.
Do your 2.5-month-old blueberries have any flavor left?
They're great. You can't tell a difference. They're still crisp. They still have the flavor in them, and you don't know. If I blindfold you and give you brand new ones and those, you won't tell the difference. It's not voodoo, it's magic, I guess. Huh? It's really cool.
Hence the term big.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am. Correct. Yeah, get the water off, because if they go in that package wet, they will be moldy and mushy and nasty.
I wonder what you think about produce vending machines.
I think that those are going to be very popular one of these days, not too far down the road. And I think that our ready-to-eat product would work good in there, because it has to be cold. With that ready-to-eat product, we have to keep it at 32 degrees once it's in that package. So everything that happens in that room, including the people working there, are working at 32 degrees. The water is at 33 because we can't put it at 32 with the wash solution in it, and we maintain that temperature all the way through the system. So, also on arrival, we break our pallets in half, because the middle of a pallet when you're doing inspection is where the trouble is at. The trouble's not on the top or the outside. It's in the center. Not that anybody ever stovepipes anything. They probably just accidentally got there in the middle where we wouldn't see it.
So that's the reason for the 32 is why they also have dairy as a storage site. The label is kind of dairy. Is that
right? Well, I guess I didn't notice that. Maybe it was near something in dairy.
Have a label on the top right, which is dairy. Is that a recommendation, or is that just a label
you
use?
I'm still not seeing dairy. Where do you see dairy?
Oh, that's an old, that's a US.
Oh, that's the 5-a-day my plate. That's the my plate. Yeah. That's the my plate. Yeah. But this product, I think, is going to be very big in the food service business. And in the school lunch programs, the school lunch directors that I talk to are all very super excited about that program.